Robert, are you there? His microphone is on. 5:01, but we don't have a quorum. We'll wait a few more minutes. Okay. There's Tom and Sean. So Tom, I see you too, and we do have arms, so I'm going to go ahead and move forward with our meeting. I will call the Pacific City Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. It is January 11th, and we are at 5:03 p.m. We're meeting via video virtual conference call due to the COVID pandemic. I will call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Tom Carlton. You're on mute. Will you wave? That's good enough. All right. Tom Donahue.
Here.
For the record, Cameron Gogas is not with us at this point, but we do have a quorum and we'll proceed. Item 3A, the minutes of the December 14th, 2021 business meeting. Are there any questions or corrections?
Hearing none, I will move that we approve the minutes of the December 14th, 2021 business meeting.
I second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes for our meeting of December 14th, 2021. All in favor, say aye and hold your hand so we get a good count. Thank you. Motion is unanimous. Item 4A, the accounts payable for December 15th and December 31st. Any questions on the accounts payable? Yes, Tom, please go ahead.
There's an entry on the 15th of December for Beckwith and Kufal as headworks parts. Are those referring to our wells?
No, the headworks is the first area that the wastewater goes into before it comes into the plant. It grinds stuff up and sifts through things so we don't get a bunch of garbage in our wastewater.
That's a pretty expensive part, whatever it was.
It was more than just one part, but yeah.
On the 15th, North Central Laboratory, it says drying oven, $2,000 and change.
Lab equipment that went out and died, and we had to purchase a new one.
Oh, okay. And also on the same date, saunas for headworks. That was from the farm store. I found that interesting.
The headworks grinds up a bunch of stuff and puts it separately, and that stuff gets put into a dumpster that the Nestucca Valley Sanitary picks up every week, every couple weeks. And they mentioned that it was a little too wet and gross, so we bought sawdust, and so far they've been happy with that. So.
Okay. On 31st of December, the airport lift station flow meter. Was that a temporary meter or is that a permanent meter? John, do you know?
It's a permanent meter that the display, the meter head, has gone bad on us, and we're having to do a replacement for it.
Okay, yeah, that's all I had.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone else? Anne?
I just had one, not a question, but an observation on the accounts payable. It seems that we paid for reciprocity for cross-connection tester and specialist recertification. So I believe that's a step toward John's continuing efforts to get reciprocity for his previous certification. Certifications to be certified in Oregon, and I think I'm right in that, and oh, good for you.
Well, thank you, and yes, it was actually a class that Leonard and I both attended. Leonard needed to complete a class to renew his cross-connection specialist, and I had to complete a one-day class to get my cross-connection specialist reciprocity from Washington.
Great to see.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I move that we approve accounts payable for December 15th and December 31st of 2021.
Sean, your mic was off.
It's weird because it shows his mic is not muted, but we can't hear.
Well, we did see. So I think we'll go ahead as Sean's working on that issue and take that as a second to the motion. And it has been moved and seconded that we will approve our, that we would like to approve our accounts payable for December 15th and December 31st of 2001. All in favor, say aye.
2021.
Great, thank you. Motion approved unanimously. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions or comments on the fiscal report? Okay, I don't see any comments. I did, in looking through it, I'd just like to make one comment. I did look through it closely today, and I'm pleased to see that we're fairly on track with all of our budget items. And it's nice to have that percentage available in that last column to go down and look and see where we are very quickly and see if something is out of whack. I appreciate how those reports are being put together, and thank you for giving us all that information. All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Item 5, the manager's report. John, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Just a couple of things to highlight here. I always give a little COVID-19 report or update. And, you know, as I've been doing for quite some time, paying attention to, you know, the COVID statistics locally, more specifically for Tillamook County. And as expected, along with the rest of the company, we are starting to see an uptick. We've increased to 14% on the 14-day average COVID positivity rate. And, you know, it's certainly going up. It's something we have to be tuned into. Unless this trend reverses, and I only expect it to get worse, we're planning to reinstitute our mandatory employee testing program beginning next week. I think that's the prudent thing to do under the circumstances. I will say that these rapid tests, these COVID rapid tests, are exceptionally hard to find. And we've only got, well, using as prescribed, we've only got about 5 weeks supply for the staff, maybe 4 weeks. And we've, you know, we've managed to bolster our supplies a little bit here and there. We just ordered some online from Walmart, but there was a maximum amount we could order. And that maximum amount at the time of order was only 8 test kits. So I ordered one, Rochelle ordered one, I think Shamra ordered one, but as expected, these test kits are exceptionally hard to find. And because of that, instead of, I'm debating about whether to go from two tests a week to one test a week, just so that we can ensure that we can get some employee testing for the duration of this variant outbreak, however long it lasts. The prospect of getting more of these is bleak. And, we have done what we can. When we first heard about the Omicron variant and how it was taking hold, we immediately tried to order. Nearly every supplier is sold out, and I check it every day, checked it today, everybody's sold out. So, we're going to do what we can do. We'll continue to check the availability, but that's definitely going to be a limiting factor for us. And I think in the current climate and culture, I think that's going to be a fact of life, and they're going to be very difficult to come by for the foreseeable future. Nonetheless, I'm expecting to see that positivity rate increase upwards of 20%, unfortunately, in the next week or so. And I am going to institute reinstitute the employee testing program. We may have to make some adjustments just to ensure that we have sufficient supplies to perform this testing for the foreseeable future. And that's going to be tough, but we're going to do the best we can, and we're going to continue to search for opportunities to bolster our supply of these rapid tests. So that was the main thing I wanted to report on the COVID front. Wanted to also mention, I've mentioned it on the last several managers' reports, we're planning an upgrade to a couple of our sewage lift stations, and I have received all three quotes now. And this is not hugely expensive, but it's within the realm of needing board approval, and so I plan to include that as a new business agenda item on the next board meeting, so that we can get that project approved. I'll supply the three quotes, and I'll talk about our options, and which particular option that I endorse. But no matter what, we're looking at north of $25,000 per lift station, so I will need board approval for that, and I will seek that at the next board meeting. Also wanted to mention the only other thing I might mention is that we did have a water leak on December 29th on Rupel Avenue. An old repair band failed on a 2-inch water line, and we did have to isolate the water line and to depressurize it, which resulted in a boil water notice, a temporary boil water notice for 6 of our customers. This was the bacteriological samples came back just fine. I should mention that we're testing those in-house now. These are special samples. We do not have to send these to a state-certified lab. And because they're specialist samples, we have begun to run these tests in-house so that we can get the results of, on average, a full 24 hours sooner than we would if we had to deliver them to a state-certified laboratory. special samples, we don't need a state-certified laboratory. We can analyze those in-house. We have the reagents. We have the equipment. And that's what we do now. So, you know, the bad news is because of the loss in pressure that of the water line that was required for us to safely do a repair. That's the downside. The upside is we get these results after only 24 hours, and the boil water notice was rescinded in 1 day, which is quicker than we've been able to do that before. So that's probably the highlights from the manager's report. If there's no questions, I'd turn it back over to you, Carolyn.
John, it looks like you got a couple of questions. Tom and then Sean.
Okay.
John, last month you mentioned the water loss that we were seeing on our graphs for water produced to water build. I mentioned last month that we were talking about 1 million gallons, but I mentioned 1 million gallons a month, but looking at it now, it's like 100,000 gallons a month, which would be over 1 million in a year. So at that time, you mentioned that the new meters for residential customers had been installed. That was a good start, and that you were contemplating consolidating our wells to 2 additional meters instead of 6, and I wondered where you were with that.
Well, we have made some progress. We have identified both the size of the meters we need and the locations that we want to install them. In fact, because of some confusion, we actually uncovered one of the lines, so that we could verify the size of the line and make sure that any alternative meter solution would be appropriately sized. I am still working on that. The idea is a couple of thoughts. All our residential meters have been recently replaced. Because of that, I'm feeling confident that we can rule those out, the billing meters, the consumption meters, as a variable. And one of the things that we have left is our production meters. And as I mentioned before, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, when we are on the wells, which would be mainly during the winter months, our water loss numbers have a tendency to be higher. And my plan is to not replace the individual wellhead meters because that would get to be quite expensive. My plan is to install a master meter on both the dune wells and the spit wells that registers the flow from all 3 wellheads combined at each location. And I believe that, well, the type of meter I'm looking to install is quite a bit more accurate, just right out of the box, than the old propeller-type meters we have in place. And we are, I'm currently working with a couple of suppliers to give me quotes for 2 6-inch magnetic flow meters, and I believe that will help considerably. I will say that our water loss numbers for this month were quite high, unacceptably high. They were around 44%. And one of my difficulties is not only the water loss, but how variable it is month to month. And I'm working with parametrics. We're crunching numbers, trying to figure out what's going on. I'm currently trying to specify a water leak detection system, which a lot of municipalities use. It's basically a high amplification sound system that will allow us to hear water leaks in the ground that we can't see. And, you know, I think, you know, many utilities have this equipment. Many utilities have a program for proactively going out and using this equipment to identify and to find and repair water leaks that were previously unknown. And under the circumstances, I feel like getting that equipment and establishing a similar program is something we have to do. We've got to get to the bottom of these water loss numbers. As I say, I don't really believe we're losing that much water. I'm still leaning heavily toward our production meters over-registering and making it appear as though we're losing that much water. But I'm working this problem on two fronts. Well, actually three. I've got I've been feeding Parametrics data, flow meter data, dating back 4 or 5 years, and I've got them crunching the numbers, looking for trends. I've you know, this upgrading these flow meters at the wells, I think will certainly help, and setting up the authority to have a proactive water leak detection program, I think is another step in the right direction. So that's kind of where I'm at, and that's the direction I'm going.
How expensive is this new technology? You say it's they use sound to detect leaks?
That's right. You'll connect to an exposed appurtenance of the water line, whether it be a hydrant or a valve, and by connecting to that, you've got earphones, and you actually listen for the water leaks, and the sound is generally unmistakable. And once you detect a water leak in the pipe, you move further up or downstream until the sound gets the loudest, and wherever the sound is the loudest is where you dig. And this technology is used successfully all over the country for this exact purpose. And the investment really isn't that substantial, considering what it could potentially save us. You know, we're looking somewhere in the ballpark of $5,000 to $7,000 to get set up with the equipment we need to establish a proactive program like this.
Well, thank you. That sounds like a practical thing to do. The other question I had is, I noticed today on Cape Kiwanda Drive, we had crews out there. They appeared to be working with a bore pipe drilling rig. Is that part of the Kiwanda master plan there, or the Cape master plan, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I believe we were doing some locates to support some boring work that was going on, and my understanding is it is for the Kiwanda Drive development. I'm guessing that this particular project was to support the new web park expansion and development. But our crews were out there and doing some locates to support that project.
Thanks. That's all I had.
Thanks, John. Go ahead, Sean.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm Oregon is pretty bad. was one in regard to the water that you're working on that, because I'd be really. We've been looking into this. My suspicion is that it's just related to our existing infrastructure, but I'd be really interested to kind of figure out where that comes from. Secondly, going back to the COVID stuff, and I know you were talking about, you know, the testing once a week versus twice a week. I don't know how many tests that you have, but my impression of the Omicron is that it's much faster than what we've seen in the past, and so I'm just sort of mentally doing an exercise and wondering if, and this is just kind of talking off the cuff, if it might be better to be doing more tests per week in the short term because of the contagiousness of Omicron, even though we know we might not be getting tests on the back end. Because of the how fast this Omicron is hitting people. And what I've seen from other aspects is it can be as fast as 2 days for it to hit. And so I'm almost wondering if it might be better to test more frequently in the short term because of the Omicron and sort of worry about tests later. And I realize that's a little ambiguous, but it's just something that I'm kind of thinking about because it's hitting so fast and so hard. Anyway, that's just kind of something that was popping into my head as we were having this discussion. And I think you're right. I think there's no chance of getting tests. And I think that the idea of getting more tests in the next month is impossible. So I don't know. I'm not... makes me uncomfortable, but I don't think there's any good situation. So anyway,
and Sean, just to let you know, I was having some difficulties as you began to speak. So your first point, I didn't completely catch all of it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize. Was that on the test, the testing, the looking for the water leaks?
Yeah, or I think that's what you were starting to talk about, or the water loss situation.
Yeah, I just, my feeling on the water loss is, I wonder if, I've been wondering this for a while, if it just kind of comes down to general infrastructure decline. No, I mean, and obviously I think your point to the fact that we have more water loss when we're pulling out of the wells is highly significant. And I think that what you're saying is spot on in that regard. But in my mind, I keep coming back to, I wonder if there are infrastructure deficiencies that are plaguing.
Well, and it's possible. I mean, we all have talked about Rupel Road. That was where we had the latest water leak I told you about. You know, we do have some work to do in terms of... replacing and upgrading water lines. We've got a lot of things targeted as part of our water master plan and all that. And I think we need to be able to move on some of these projects. These pipes aren't getting any newer. They're not getting any more durable. And, you know, it is possible that, you know, due to the age of some of our water lines and stuff, that, you know, we are beginning to see some of that. Generally speaking, even during the winter months, if we have a significant water leak, it's still pretty obvious, you know, from above ground. If we have water leaks that are contributing heavily to these numbers, they're staying hidden pretty well. And therefore, that's why I think we need to go look for them. And I think your point's well taken. You know, we do have to look toward the future, and we do have to complete some of these major pipeline replacement projects because, you know, it's important. It's important to ensure uninterrupted delivery of water to our customers. It's important to keep maintenance requirements low, overtime requirements low. One of the things that I don't take lightly at all is when we have a water leak, we have a loss of pressure, which frequently happens when you have water leaks. I mean, you have to isolate and drain and depressure the line in many cases to enact a repair. One of the things that none of us like is, you know, even when small parts of town are affected, you know, we don't like to have to tell our inconvenience our customers and as a precautionary measure tell them they have to boil their water for 24 hours. These are all things that we need to consider, and we do need to move forward with some of these pipeline replacements, especially the ones we've identified as being most at risk. And but I think your point's well taken with that.
Hey John, is there any way to sort of nodally or regionally assess where leaks may be? In other words, is there a way to designate that, hey, maybe this leak is coming from this part of town, or maybe this leak is coming from this part of town? I mean, do we have any way of understanding either from pump stations or anything like that, like at least on a slightly smaller basis, leaks might come?
Yeah, there are some ways. For example, if our reservoirs, if the fill cycle on one of our reservoirs suddenly and inexplicably increases, well, that's a clue that we may have something going on downstream of that reservoir. The problem is we haven't really observed that. And that's one of the things that makes this, such a mystery, is we don't really see behavior from the rest of our infrastructure that's abnormal. And, if suddenly the 300K the fill cycle started happening at twice the frequency that it does on a normal day, well, that's one way we can use some other signs to try to identify that. So far, we haven't really seen that, but it's definitely something we're paying attention to. Did I lose everybody?
Back in another. You did, from the point of talking about the reservoirs.
Okay. I apologize. My screen just went a little blank here. Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, the fill cycles on the reservoirs are definitely an indication. It's just we haven't seen any abnormal behavior or any more frequent or longer fill cycles. But, you know, to answer your question, Sean, that's, you know, one of the things we pay attention to, and it definitely could be an indication of a water leak downstream of the reservoir.
Don, I'd like to point out that from the of this month, from water build, we have a difference over, just for last month, 100,000 gallons. So that's a tremendous amount of water. 100,000 gallons is the size of our smallest reservoir. So that's why I think John's on the right track, that we've got a technological problem, not a real one.
John, are you still with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got
hear you, Sean, but I can't hear John.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, I apologize. It's, or I am.
John's back.
I'm back. I did hear what Tom said.
Is Sean fine?
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Tom, for that. Any other questions on the manager's report? All right, moving forward, let's go on to item 6A, water and wastewater master plans. John?
Well, I am pleased to report that we just got, I think, what we are generally considering to be the final copy of the water master plan today. So I will send that out.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah!
I will send that out to everyone for review.
Right.
Well, thank you. I you know, it's been a challenge, and you know, and it's sometimes it's hard to blame, you know, our engineering firm, because you know they're working on like six different things simultaneously for us, and I did pin them down earlier in December. They had committed to getting it to me by the end of the year. They didn't get it to me by the end of the year. I had a conference call with them, and they were able to finish up the last little part and get it sent out. So I'm confident that this will be a superior product to the first one we've seen. It may not be perfection, but I know that they did a significant amount of work just to bolster the content and to you know, provide us with, you know, a quality product. And as I say, I'll send it out to the group for a review tomorrow. But barring anything blatantly incorrect, I think I know Parametrics is generally considering this to be the final version. Based on what I know and what I've talked about, I'm considering this largely to be the final version. But, you know, I will send it out to everybody and would welcome additional review and comment. You know, it's not going to be all things to all people, but I'm confident that this product will be far superior and will address the comments that were made from the original draft. And I feel reasonably good that this will wind up to be our final copy, because I know Parametrics has invested the additional work. They've listened to our comments, and I have not read it yet. As I say, I just got it today, but I'm optimistic that this will put the wraps on the water master plan for now, and now we can I can ratchet up the pressure on the wastewater master plan, which my understanding is shouldn't be too far behind. I've been corresponding with them about that and providing them with data off and on for, you know, 3 or 4 months now. So I would expect to see a draft, and it'll be a draft, but I would expect to see a draft of the wastewater master plan sometime in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And I will continue. Well, I hope I didn't go dark again. I will continue to, you know, to put the pressure on to make sure that happens. I'm having technical difficulties too. I'm not sure why. My my Wi-Fi signal looks strong, so please forgive me if every once in a while all your screens go dark, which probably leads me to believe that's my end of things, not yours. So please just let me know if I need to repeat anything.
All right. Thank you, John. Ann? You want to mute? Can't hear you.
Sorry, I unmuted myself. I'm so pleased to hear that we're at this point with the Water Master Plan and appreciate all the extra effort you've put into making it come along on a little more timely schedule than it was, maybe. And I just have to say, I now know what I'll be doing for the next couple of weeks, I guess. Now, I was in doubt, but I know I'll be glued to the Water Master Plan when I don't have some household thing to do.
We'll keep you busy. Yeah, we'll keep you busy for sure.
John, would you like all of us to our review and say the next couple of weeks and then call with our concerns so that you can organize all of those thoughts and presentation back at the next meeting and make it more efficient for us?
I think that would be a great idea. Yeah, if we could, you know, it's a big plan. It's a critically important plan. And it's something that, you know, I think we do need everybody to give it another review. Welcome to take comments, you know, especially, you know, anything that's, you know, low-hanging fruit. I think we can, you know, do a little more polishing. I do know that Parametrics is over budget on their end for this. And there's a little bit of sensitivity about too much more back and forth, but you know, we deserve something we're happy with, and I'm optimistic that this version will I think will satisfy most of us, if other than maybe just a couple of small points of clarification.
Thank you. Would you do us the favor, once you send that out, if you or Rochelle send in 2 weeks after that a reminder that we need to get back to you with our comments so that we actually do that and it doesn't get lost in the shuffle?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Maybe the reminder could go out at the like 9 or 10 day period if we want the results back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Appreciate it.
Anything else on the master plans? All right. We'll move forward to item 6B, the board workshop review. As you all remember, we did a workshop in July of last year with Rob Mills, and he has encouraged us to talk about these issues the coming year. We are on the limb, and so for this, again, he's asked us to discuss the importance of this particular issue, how the principles support teamwork and good communication, and also to share examples of how the principles will play out regarding the board members' duties and responsibilities. The issues, individual or no authority to direct staff admitting that he's without is narrower in scope in that it speaks directly to board interaction with staff and administration. By the board members of limitations posed by this principle and good understanding of the appropriate lines of authority or change of command in the organization. Comments from the board, please. Anne, go ahead.
Well, nobody was raising their hand, so I was just going to jump in. And I see absolutely nothing to question here. I think this is class board leadership responsibility. It's how we were all trained in the board training. It's appropriate in every regard. And so, I mean, I'm fully in support of it.
Thank you. Sean, you had your hand up next, and then Tom.
Can you hear me? You can hear me okay? All right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that even though this one seems kind of the most of all to me, I also think it's the most dangerous because I think it's the one that we can almost take for granted. And I think it's really important that we understand that everything that we do and all of the path that we sort of set ourselves on are have to come back to this idea of there is no such thing as an individual board member doing anything without the express direction from the board. And it's almost, in my mind, I'm kind of thinking it's almost worthless to say, but at the same time, this is one of those things that worries me because it is so simple, but I think it's the easiest one to misinterpret and the easiest one to ignore. So I would just say, let's just make sure no matter what our role in this thing is, no matter where we are, whether we're a chair of the board, the vice chair, the secretary, no matter where we are, it's really important that we understand that there is no power to an individual board member that happens without the express direction of the entire board.
Thank you, Sean. Tom?
I agree.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Sean, I think that was extremely well stated, and it is so different on this board than on other boards in our community or other public offices where you have much more individual power. We are five that are functioning as a unit under the direction of the group and for the purpose of the community. And because of that, none of have the ability without the other members. And I'm glad that you both brought that up and that we're all in agreement on it. So given that, I don't think there's much more to say about that particular issue. Thank you. We'll move on to item 6C, the Water Management and Conservation Plan. John?
Well, work is definitely ramping up on this. We've had much more information requests related to this in the last few weeks than we've had previously, which is good. You know, we've got this is one report that we've got is probably our soonest deadline for, to be honest, in the eyes of the regulators and everyone else. So work is ramping up on this. We've already discussed, some of my concerns regarding our water loss numbers, some of my proposed approaches and solutions. So I won't rehash that here. Just suffice it to say that the number one focus related to this agenda item, not only for me but for Parametrics, is to try to get a handle on these water loss numbers and to try to explain them and to bring them under control. But other than that, just letting everybody know that it's clear that the efforts on this particular plan have noticeably ramped up, and that's probably the extent of the update I would give on that right now, especially in light of the fact we've already gone into some detail about some of the concerns and complications with it related to water loss. Uh-oh, I think everybody froze up on me again.
It's John. Any questions on this issue?
No, just appreciate the progress you're making.
Thank you. All right, item 6D, proposed operations supervisory position.
Yeah, well, we've in light of some of the comments we got at the last board meeting, we have done a revision to this that I think has improved it a great deal, thanks to Sean for his, in particular, for his help and suggestions on this. You know, this the draft I put together, I kind of started with the assistant authority manager job description as a starting point, and I don't think that served me very well, because this is, and I just want to make clear to the board, this is a hands-on position. This is a position that will be out in the field performing work, in addition to supervising the performance of other people doing the same work. And because of that, I think rightfully so, we've whittled out some of the more, pure administrative duties out of this. I think somebody in this role will dabble in that type of stuff just from a natural progression as you move into a supervisory role like this. But what really can't be lost is the fact that this is still a hands-on role. This is not an office position. This is not a desk job. And with that in mind, I believe we made some pretty substantial improvements to the job description itself. What I've done, took the liberty of doing, is I have, in terms of the individual tasks and jobs that are described, I broke it down into administrative and supervisory responsibilities, and also operational and technical responsibilities. The operational and technical responsibilities is, you know, what our crews do out in the field. The person in this position will still be expected to perform that type of work as needed. And therefore, I didn't want to shortchange the description of those types of hands-on duties, because although they may not be a daily expectation of somebody in this role, somebody in this role is certainly going to continue to perform those kind of hands-on duties, especially if we're in a position where we have to cover for operators and so forth who might be on vacation or things along that line. But in addition, I think I found the right balance for supervisory responsibilities, that I think that the position would be worthy of. I think these are the roles that I'm looking for somebody in this position to assume. And I do believe a significant revision to the original draft, I do believe that this is a much stronger and more representative description of the job that I envision. And hopefully, although I didn't get it out till Friday, hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at it. Sean, hopefully this addressed, you know, your concerns that it might have been in sections may have been a little too heavily weighted on the administrative side. But I feel very good that what we've got listed here encompasses the expectations of this position. And, you know, I would you certainly open it up to the floor for any additional comments or questions. But if what I would like out of this meeting is to get a consensus from the board, to get some feedback from the board that would allow me to move forward with implementing this position, knowing I've got the board's support.
Yes, Tom, please go ahead.
I have a couple of minor suggestions. I think overall that you've laid this out very well. However, as a matter of grammar, kind of, well, that's probably not the right word, but you use a lot of acronyms that aren't described. You use other acronyms to describe standard operating procedures. Specifically, under the administrative and supervisory responsibilities, you use the acronym NPDES. Also, three or four bullet points down, you use VOC and SOCs. And a couple below that is CMMS application. On the last page, under preferred additional qualifications, to use the acronym SBR, and I don't know what that is. The only other, I think acronyms are technical terms that all technical organizations use. However, to the average person, they make absolutely no sense at all. And in a job description, I think they need to be spelled out. And then, like you did with under the administrative and supervisor responsibilities, where you stated develop and implement standing operating procedure, SOPs, is the format you should use when you use acronyms.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention was under the position summary, it's been my experience over the years that a salary range is part of that basic position summary.
Okay.
Now, that's up to discussion, I think, at this point. But I'd like to make a suggestion in that 30 managers under their position summary that who, I can't remember the name of the company, but it was like $85,000 to $125,000, and this is basically an operations supervisor. It's almost an assistant manager, but it's not quite there. So I think the appropriate salary range would be $75,000 to $95,000, depending on the person's qualifications and experience especially. But those are my thoughts.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. You make a very good point. You know, people in my line of work are used to throwing around terms like VOC and SOC every day, and we just know what they are. I think you make a very good point. I think this should be written for somebody who's not necessarily as knowledgeable or as experienced in this line of work could still understand what we're talking about. I think that's an excellent point and certainly an easy fix. And we will implement that for sure. In terms of the salary range, you're kind of right in the ballpark of what I'm thinking. But my goal was to to get support on this from the board and then take a harder look at that. But I think what you've mentioned is right in the ballpark.
Other comments? Ann?
I really appreciate the revised summary, the job description. I'm guessing that the salary issues were not addressed here because this isn't a job announcement to go out and hire. It's the creation of a new position. And I see your thinking, John, I see both Tom's thinking that that's a natural thing to go to is the next item is the salary. In this case, this particular document, I think, is presented for us to support the concept of this position. And as John was saying, the next logical step is to look at salary within the industry and determine that. So I think this is a great job. I'm all for it. I think the revision to the job description is terrific. Appreciate Sean's input on that too. So as far as I'm concerned, full steam ahead.
Thank you.
John, I'll add my 2 cents. I would concur with that. And typically, just as a bit of history, on our job descriptions, we have not had the salaries. We put the salaries on the job announcements because every budget year we have a sheet that lists all the positions we have available and salary ranges for that. Those change on a yearly basis. By not putting them on the description but only on the posting, that keeps us from making mistakes and errors from not keeping up with it or sending out one that's not correct. So just a little bit of history. So I think Sean obviously has voiced his support for this by working with you, so I think you have consensus and full support of the board to move forward with this position, unless anybody wants to speak otherwise to that. All right.
Do we need a motion, or we just consensus support for the concept of full steam ahead?
Consensus support and full steam ahead.
Perfect.
Well, thank you, everyone.
All right. You're welcome. We have no new business tonight. Item 8, guest questions and comments. Did we have anything come in from the public? Okay. Evidently, we're doing a good enough job. Item 9, director comments. Don?
I'd just like to inform the board that February's meeting, which is the 8th, I will be in Southern California, but I'll try to hook up with y'all with the internet where I'm as accent. I don't know whether that's this. Hopefully that is, but I'll be out of the area.
Thank you for letting us know. If this year at least it's going to nice relieve the rain with that.
Desert.
Any other comments? All right. Tom, I did receive, for the record, I did receive your copy of this afternoon of John's review, but I wasn't able to integrated, so we attach to their and not hear back from Cameron, so that I hope he's doing okay and well. But at this point, we don't have information from him to add to the review. So therefore, we're ready to go into executive session. We do still have a quorum, even though I don't see Sean on the call at this point. Rochelle, I can see a telephone.
There's just this terrible temptation to sort of tap the screen. And
try it. Maybe something will happen.
I don't think it'll do anything. But it's always my instinct.
All right. Then at the executive session and back in the general session. And just to summarize before we reconvene, just to summarize before I adjourn, that we did in coming up with this evaluation together and get it to Sean and Tom this week. I will make some minor corrections on the collaborative document that we've got. Tom, if you can find a way to sign yours and deliver it to the authority, then your document will be signed and then added to the group document that exists. And then Ann and Sean, once I get those edits done at some point, if you'll stop by the office and get your signature on that, we will then be through with the six-month review, because we want a signed copy in the personnel file for records. And then going back to getting information to Tom, if you guys have a chance to talk, I can get something to get to us so that it's on the end of the challenges we may have, where we may want to go with, I think that'll get us started in the right direction of discussing the issue. So thank you for bringing that up. And thank you again, all of you, for your patience with me holding the process to executive session as I am required to do. Any final comments from anybody before I adjourn the meet? All right, hearing none, it is...
Wait. Can't hear me?
I can't see you, but I can hear you, yes.
Okay, you can hear me now? So just a couple of things. First of all, I just want to say on the public record that as somebody who has made a career out of advancing internally, I very much want to say that I appreciate John's effort in creating opportunities for those employees, those of our employees, to advance internally. And second of all, I think that there's always an opportunity to improve our process. So to the extent that Tom has some advice on how to improve the employee evaluation process as it relates to authority manager, I look forward to doing that on the public record. So thanks.
Thank you for that. John, did you note those two items? Because we're not on a recorder at this point, and he wanted to make that part of the public record as a director comment?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Sean. And it is now 6:39, and we are adjourned. Thank you so much for your time and efforts. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.